you may have just entered the Christian ranks, or maybe you're somewhat of a veteran. Either way, there's always something that you can learn or improve upon by going over the basics. And John MacArthur takes you through Spiritual Boot Camp on today's Grace to You. In a recent television interview, a talk show host suggested that biblical interpretation should evolve with modern times. What do you think? Is it a good approach? Is that how God wants you to interpret the Bible? Find out what it takes to study the Scripture to make sure that you're interpreting it the right way. Stay tuned here on Grace to You as John MacArthur begins a series that examines the basics of Christian living. It's titled Spiritual Boot Camp. Now, over the years, this study has shown many folks, both new believers and longtime Christians, how to study the Scripture, how to pray, how to be a witness for Christ. And I think that you'll find it is a great learning tool. And now to get the spiritual boot camp started, here's our teacher, John MacArthur.
It is very obvious, I think, to every Christian that the Bible is the revelation of God, that God has written His Word for us. It is the only rule we have for life. It is the only standard we have for behavior. It is the only authority. Now, there may be other things that you learn in life that help you through life, but they don't have the authority that this does. When the Bible speaks, that is the voice of God. And it is authoritative. And it becomes then, for us, the standard of life. Now, if that's the case, then it is very important for us to learn what the Bible says, to be able systematically to approach the Scripture and find out what it says. Not only what it says, but what it means by what it says. So in the life of every Christian, there must be that daily nourishing in the Word of God. It is critical. First of all, it is necessary to study the Bible in order to grow. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, "As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow by it." Throughout the New Testament, Christians are spoken of as having been born again. You become a child of God. Repeatedly, you're called a child or a son of God. You have been born into the family of God. You have been adopted as a son of God. You sometimes are even called babes. Now, that implies that there is the capacity of life and growth within a new Christian. And that, of course, is obvious. We are to be growing. And here he says, Peter does in 1 Peter 2, that we are to grow by the pure milk of the Word, like babies grow. In Colossians chapter 2, it says in verse 6, "As you therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith." And here again, the idea that Christians are to grow, rooted and build up. And the way that that happens is through the faith, that is through the content of Christianity. The more we understand Christianity, the more established we are, the more built up we are. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, where Paul is saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders, he says, "I commend you to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up." So the Word is necessary if we are to grow. And growth is basic to usefulness. Babies aren't really that useful. I mean, they're nice to have around. They're kind of cuddly, and you pet them a lot and kiss them and do that kind of stuff. But you can't really do much with them. You can't say, "All right, baby, go out and clean up the bedroom," or whatever. You know, they're not really too helpful. And there are a lot of Christians like that. They're just in the way. You know, you trip over them. They're always crawling around the floor, messing with stuff. And they're really not a whole lot of use to anybody. And the longer they stay that way, the more tragic it becomes. And so we assume that you want to grow. We assume in Christian life that where there is life, there is growth. And so we desire that Christians would grow, and the way to grow is from the Bible. And so we must study the Bible. Second thing, and we'll move ahead. The second reason that it is necessary to study the Bible is to defeat sin. We will never be able to defeat sin unless we defeat it with the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, what is the armor that is used to fight against Satan? What is the one weapon the Christian has? The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. The thing that defeats Satan's temptation is the Word of God. There are a lot of scriptures that relate to that. It says in Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hidden in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." When a Christian takes the Bible in, it becomes a preventative to sin. Listen, it says in verse 9 of Psalm 119, "Wherewithal or how shall a young man cleanse his ways?" How do you clean your life up? People come to me from time to time and they say, "I wish my life was clean. It's a mess. How do I clean it up?" By taking heed according to thy word. You see, the way to clean your life up is to learn the book. It is necessary, thirdly, to study Scripture in order to prepare yourself for service. In order to prepare yourself for service. You'll find that when you get into the service of the Lord, the knowledge of the Word of God becomes your support, so that when you get into a tough situation, you have confidence in it. It becomes your information, so that when you get into a situation, you know the principles to solve the situation. You know how to serve. You know the direction. You know how to operate to please God. It's critical that if you're going to serve the Lord, you know the Scripture. Otherwise, you'll go blindly into some activity thinking you're serving God while violating His principles. Joshua 1:8 gives us insight into this. "The book of the law, God's word, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditate day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Success in your life is dependent upon the occupation with the Word of God. This brings success. All right? It is necessary to study the Scripture in order to be blessed. I don't know about you, but I like to be happy rather than sad. I'd much rather be happy than miserable. And I know that life is made up of miserable times and happy times. But I also know this, that the more I study the Word of God, the happier I am, no matter what the circumstances are. The Word of God makes me happy. That's really practical. You say, where does it say that? Verse 1 of Psalm 1, "Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night." That's a happy man. A happy man is somebody who studies the Bible. That's a happy man. All right, it is necessary also to study Scripture to help others. You really can't help anybody else unless you know something. God never put a premium on ignorance. Your ignorance not only makes you unable to help yourself, but it makes you unable to help anybody else. And Christianity is all about helping other people, isn't it? How best can you help a person in trouble? By showing them God's solution to their trouble, right? How best can you solve a person's problem? By knowing what the Bible says about their problem and how to handle it. So you help others when you know the Word of God. Now, those are some of the basics. How is it done? How do we study the Bible? Well, first of all, there has to be some preparation. If you're going to read the Bible, study the Bible, there are some basic things you have to do to prepare. Again, we would look at 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Verse 2 says we're to study the Word to grow. Verse 1 says, "Laying aside all evil and all guile," that's deceit, "all hypocrisy or phoniness, all envy and all evil speaking," that's talking about somebody behind their back, "put all that aside, then desire the milk." Now, what does that tell us? Before you can ever study the Bible with any effect, you got to get rid of what? Sin. You got to deal with it. So before you approach the Scripture, what's a good way to start? With confession, a time of prayer. When you lay those things before the Lord and you confess your sin to the Lord, you purify your mind before God, then you become a willing and capable pupil of the Word of God. As long as your mind and heart and life is cluttered up with sin, you're never going to be able to grow. So preparation involves purification. And that is a good place to start. In James 1:21, "Put away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your life." Now, there is a general principle there. Sin being set aside, you become able to receive the Word of God. And so this is important. So that's the preparation. Before you study each day, you spend a little time in prayer and confession. And you just acknowledge to the Lord whatever the sin might be and set it right, and then you go into the Word of God. How do you actually study? First of all, it's important that you read. And you know, you have to believe that just reading the Bible is an exciting thing because God promises to bless somebody who reads the Bible. I've had people say this to me, you know, in different schools and say, well, some parts of the Bible, you know, I don't understand. One guy said to me, I always avoid the book of Revelation. I never read that because that's just too weird. I don't understand it. So I quoted him Revelation 1:3. Happy is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy. You want to be happy? Read Revelation. That's a happy thing to read Revelation. Say happy. You should be happy reading all about all that horrible. You got to read all the way to the end. Then you get happy. You get happy that you weren't in the other part. Revelation can be a very happy experience. John says, when I tasted all of this, it was sweetness in my mouth, even though it was bitterness in my stomach. And so we are blessed, we are happy if we read. So it is important to read. When Paul was giving instruction to Timothy about how to preach, he says, first of all, read the Bible. Read it. We need to do that. Set aside a time every day to read the Bible. Now, I'll tell you how to do it, and I suggested this in the little book on God's Will Is Not Lost. This is a plan that really helped me. I used to struggle with the reading of the Bible. I'd read it, and I'd forget what I read the day before, every time. And I'd read through a book, and I'd get done, wouldn't know anything about the book. And then I'd read another book, and then I didn't know anything about that one either. And I was just piling up tremendous ignorance and spending a lot of time doing it. You know, I was working real hard to be stupid. And I couldn't retain anything. So I began to think, well, probably the best way to read the Bible is to read it repetitiously. So I decided to start with 1 John, and that's what I would do. Now, I'll tell you how it works. You start with 1 John. It's a good place for you to start. 1 John is not an easy book. It's a simple book in many ways, but it has some great complexities, and you'll find that the more you read it, the more meat you'll begin to be able to receive. But you take 1 John, you sit down, you read it straight through at one sitting. Now, it'll only take you about 20, 25 minutes because it's a 5 chapters and it's not that tough. You just sit down and read it through. Then the second day, do the same thing. Third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seventh day, you do the same thing. Do the same thing for 30 days. Every day for 30 days, you've read through 1 John one time. At the end of those 30 days, you will know what's in 1 John. Somebody will say to you, where does it say if we confess our sins? You'll say 1 John 1, right-hand column, halfway down. Right in the you know, that'll be in your mind. You know, if I were to say to you right now, quote me Romans 12:1, what's the first thing you see in your mind? You see a page, you see a column, and you see a chapter heading, right? Because your mind creates a picture. You cannot learn without a mental picture. And so what's hard about Bible memory is that all the pages look alike. That's why I draw in my Bible a lot. Because then every page has its own little quirks. And I see that page in my mind and I remember it. People ask me how I remember Scripture. That's one way. I have little squigglies in different places in the Bible, little sweat marks or tears or rips or something, and I remember those. See? Whatever works, right? And so at the end of 30 days, you know what's in 1 John. Somebody says, where does it say, love not the world, neither the things that are in it? 1 John 2:15, right-hand page, right-hand column, halfway down, right over. You begin to know what's in 1 John. Now you haven't defined everything, and you haven't studied everything out, but at least you know what the book is about. Now, about the 10th day, you're going to feel like you got it all licked. I don't need to keep doing this. I know this thing. But you keep doing it and keep doing it, and the 30th day, you'll realize you really don't know much at all, because the more you read it, the deeper it becomes. I remember when I did this, I went through 90 days because I began to get excited about 1 John. Now, you finish 1 John, then you go to the Gospel of John. Now you say, well, wait a minute, John, that's 21 chapters. I don't have time. Well, that's good. You just divide it into 3 sections of 7 chapters. And you read 7 chapters every day for 30 days, and then the second 7 chapters from chapter 8 through 14, then chapter 15 to 21. See? So the first 30 days, you're reading 1 through 7 over and over and over and over and over and over. The second 30 days, you're reading 8 through 14, the third 15 to 21. At the end of 90 days, you've knocked off the Gospel of John. At the end of 2.5 years, you've knocked off the whole New Testament. 2.5 years, you'll be the only one on your block to do it, believe me. 2.5 years, and well, you're going to study the Bible the rest of your life anyway. You might as well do it so you'll learn it. And then the thing that's going to happen is you'll be able to cross-reference. You'll be going through, oh, yeah, that's over there in Philippians 2. Oh, I know, that's over there. And pretty soon, you'll cease to be a concordance cripple. Somebody asks, well, I don't know where it is, but I'll look up the word in the back here, see? And you can't ever find anything. Pretty soon, by repetition, you'll begin to know where things are, and then you'll be able to go to those things. And then when somebody wants an answer to a question, you have that answer. So just imagine if you'd have started 2.5 years ago. Now, beyond reading, it is important that you study. You've read it, you've been reading it for 2.5 years, and really, if you didn't do anything but just read it and come to church and listen and come to Bible studies and listen, that's fine. That's a great way to start. But once you've gotten it all read, you're going to find out that you already are pretty well able to interpret it because the Bible is interpreted best by itself. All right, so then once you've read it all, then you begin to study it. Now, how do you study the Bible? For example, let me give you an idea. What about if you just decided, I'm going to study all the prayers of the Bible? That'd be a great study. It'd take you a long time to do it. You start out in Genesis, find every time there was a prayer there and study about it. What did they say? Who prayed? What was he praying for? What was the answer? Terrific. Then maybe you'd want to say, I think I'll study all the prayers of the Apostle Paul. What a tremendous study that would be. So you can make any topic you want. I'd like to study the subject of forgiveness. So you could go to the bookstore and you could buy a little book that's called a topical index. And you could look up the word forgiveness and it would tell you every passage in the Bible where forgiveness is discussed. And you could take that, look them all up, do a little study on that. And that would be exciting. I would suggest, and I'll suggest some things in a minute, that you take some notes on books that I suggest for you in a minute because they can really be a great help to you. You could say, for example, I want to know about God's judgment. So I'm going to go through the book of Isaiah and find everything I could find in there about judgment. And then I'll know something of why God judges and how He judges and what the response is. Another great way to study the Bible is biographically. Take somebody like Elijah and do a study on Elijah. Or take somebody like David and study the life of David. That absolutely is fascinating. Or Joseph. Or find somebody really kind of offbeat like Ahithophel or something like that. Somebody just kind of a little bit of a strange character. Or take a character that's not talked about too much in the New Testament and try to dig a little bit and find out all that the New Testament says about him. Maybe somebody like Andrew, who isn't quite as predominant as others. Now, also in your study, read good books. Whatever your study is going to be on, find some good material on that. Or get some tapes on that and get some outside input. You ought to find a good library wherever your area is, a good Christian library where you can check books out or where you can go and just sit and do some reading and reference books. There are good tapes available that supplement, and you ought to purchase good books. Don't spend a lot of your money buying popular kind of Christian books. You know what I mean? The kind of Christian book you read once because it's the testimony of somebody and that's it, you put it away. That's fine if you want to check it out of the library or maybe once in a while if somebody gives you one or you really want to buy one once in a while, but build your library on the books that are going to become reference books that you'll use again and again and again. For example, it's good to have a concordance, not the one in the back of your Bible, but one that has much more information than that because that one's very limited. And then it's important also to have a topical index. There are many of them. There's all kinds of topical index books, and all that means is you can go to that book and it'll tell you every scripture on any subject you want. So you can study them, find out all there is about it. Really a helpful thing to have. One other thing I would suggest is that you have a commentary. Commentary is a book that explains the meaning of the Bible. You can look up any passage in the Bible and it gives you a basic explanation of what it means. Very, very helpful. Okay, in studying the Bible then, you want to study subjects, you want to study outside books so that you're studying in the Bible and you're studying those who have commented on the Scripture as well. All right, one other thing in studying the Bible, very, very important. While you're studying, find somebody else that you can share your information with. Find somebody else that you can share your information with. If you're a parent, it may be one of your kids, it may be your spouse. If you don't have a family situation, it may be another Christian, it may be another person you led to Christ. I don't know, but find somebody that you can share your information with. Otherwise, you're not nearly as motivated to learn. The greatest motive that I have to study the Scripture is the responsibility of the ministry. I have to be faithful to God to teach the people He's given me. If you don't have anybody that you're teaching, then you really don't have any motive beyond yourself, and sometimes it's hard to drum that up. But if you've got some little bird in the nest who keeps opening its mouth and hollering for food, then you're going to have to be responsible to give it something. You say, but I'm a new Christian. Yeah, but there's a newer Christian than you. Or maybe there's somebody who isn't even one yet, and you need to teach them. So find somebody that you can share the information you're learning with. Maybe it's even somebody who knows more than you do. Believe me, there are people who know less than I do about the totality of Scripture who can minister to me because they have fresh insights. Or they see new things that I have never seen. Or they see new applications in their life. Find somebody that you can share it with. One other thing in study, and that is find a pattern that you can follow. Find a human pattern that you can follow. Very important. It may be somebody like your teacher in a Bible study. It may be a very godly person that you know very well, another Christian brother or sister. It could be any number of people, but find a pattern that you can follow. And you ought to somehow try to establish enough of a relationship with that individual to be able to speak with them and to concern yourself with the things in their life that would apply to you. All right, one other area in terms of how it is to be done. Preparation, reading, study, fourthly, teaching. Teaching. Now, what we mean by this is submit yourself to teaching, good Bible teaching. May I add that this is never a substitute for your own study. Don't ever think that because you came to church and heard the sermon on Sunday morning and Sunday night and you went to the Bible study on Friday that you don't need to study on your own. If that's the case, you know what you've just forfeited? All those things that we gave you in point number one, in their fullest possible capacity. You are being benefited by teaching, but you are most benefited when you are being taught and when you are studying on your own. And you say, well, I haven't been a Christian long enough to study on my own. If you've been a Christian 10 minutes, that's long enough. Get at it. Start. So you want to be sure you submit yourself to a teacher, be in a Bible class, be in a church service where somebody's teaching the Word of God. I see so many new Christians whose only orientation to Christianity is they sort of follow around the Christian stars. You know, tonight we're having da-da-da-da in his orchestra, wonderful saved Christian something or other. And so they gravitate over there and they hear Christian music. Well, over here they're showing the latest Christian movie, and over here they've got the greatest Christian ex-convict, and over here is the, you know, and they just go, they're sort of like vagabonds. They just travel around to whatever's happening. Submit yourself to systematic teaching of the Word of God someplace. That's very, very important. You know, one of the things that we see so much in Christianity is when somebody gets saved, if they have anything that is marketable, the Christian community will suck them up and make a commodity out of them. I talked to a guy on his deathbed who told me his life was destroyed as a Christian because he was a celebrity. He got saved. The Christian community marketed him as a saved celebrity, and he spent the rest of his Christian life going around telling how wonderful it was to be a saved celebrity and never learned a single thing about the Christian life. Consequently, his whole life was defeated, and he had terrible, terrible guilt because of all the sin in his life. He was trying to get up and tell everybody what wonderful thing it is to be a saved celebrity, and the truth of the matter was that he was eating his heart out because he wasn't growing. Well, that's a problem in Christianity. I don't care if you are a celebrity. You still have to submit yourself to some teaching and some solid feeding by men who are gifted of God and given to the church to teach you. Very important.
Sitting under sound biblical teaching is crucial to your Christian growth. But as John MacArthur said today, church activity is no substitute for regular personal times of reading and studying God's Word. Now, you've just made it through the first drills of the Spiritual Boot Camp. That's the title of John MacArthur's current study here on Grace to You. We'll be moving another direction for a minute, with the Christmas season definitely here. No doubt the days ahead will include some searching for that perfect gift. John, I know that you'd like to make that search a little easier for our listeners.
We would like to make it a whole lot easier, Carl, wouldn't we? And we've got some things that you might want to think about as gifts that have a spiritual impact, a life-transforming influence, something that really will matter in someone's life. Here are some suggestions. The new book, At the Throne of Grace. This is a book of prayers, prayers that I prayed before the congregation of Grace Church on Sunday mornings after reading the Scripture. That's been a pattern for well over 40 years, to read the Word of God and then pray out of that passage of Scripture. These are very wonderful and theologically rich
prayers. These are not scripts for you to follow, but they are theology in praise, theology in prayer. You'll find your heart influenced toward praise, toward worship, toward prayer. You'll also find an opportunity to worship the Lord through these prayers with our congregation at the Throne of Grace. 250 pages, hardcover book. The flagship resource of Grace to You has been the MacArthur Study Bible. Now, we have it in the New American Standard Version, the New King James, and the English Standard Version, all kinds of different covers. We'll add a free offer with every study Bible, topical Bible, daily Bible, or student Bible. We'll send you a free copy, how about this, of the Book of Prayers that I just mentioned. That's amazing because that is a brand new book, a free copy of At the Throne of Grace if you order one of our Bibles. And the book Slave, don't forget about it if you haven't read it. It is a blockbuster bestseller, important understanding of your relationship to Christ. Order these today so you get them in time for Christmas.
Christmas may be the best opportunity you have to get in-depth Bible teaching to your loved ones. To maximize your ministry for this holiday season, order the books Slave, At the Throne of Grace, and the MacArthur Study Bible. Contact us today. Now, as you order, keep in mind that for a limited time, nearly all of our resources, including the books At the Throne of Grace and Slave, and the MacArthur Study Bible, are available for a 20% off the regular price discount, and shipping is still free. With the reduced pricing, the books Slave and At the Throne of Grace cost $12 each. Both could be a great Christmas gift for a longtime believer or a brand new Christian, too. Also, keep in mind, with every copy that you purchase of the MacArthur Study Bible or the MacArthur Topical Bible or the MacArthur Daily Bible, we'll send you one free copy of At the Throne of Grace. To order any of our Bibles available at a 20% discount right now, call toll-free 1-800-55-GRACE or go online to gty.org. And let me encourage you to jot a note and tell us how you're benefiting personally from this broadcast. The address here is Grace to You, Post Office Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. And the email address, letters@gty.org. And now for John MacArthur, I'm your host, Carl Miller. Thanks for being with us today. For more in the Spiritual Boot Camp, come back tomorrow as John continues unleashing God's truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You. Preparing for battle means knowing how to use the weapons that can save your life. Learn how to use the sword of the Spirit when you return to the Spiritual Boot Camp tomorrow on Grace to You.